Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
You look forward to it every week here with Wyman and Bob. Every Tuesday at 5 o'clock, we bring in the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley, who joins us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. Hello, Michael.
I've been eating steroid-laden burritos, so I feel strong. Let's go.
I don't know what that means. What is that in reference to?
Are you kidding?
Steroid-laden burritos.
A tremendous track runner, a U.S. female track runner, tested positive for substance, for a banned substance, a steroid, and she blamed it on a burrito that she ate that had meat in it that had steroids in the meat.
What?
That's a great one. I'm so proud of that one.
You like that one. At least it's creative.
That's really good. That's like Bob Baffert saying that some guy in his barn peed in the hay and the horse ate the pee and the guy was on, you know, it's getting more and more ridiculous every day.
A burrito.
A burrito. The meat was tainted. Tainted meat
the
in
meat
my burrito.
Was tainted.
Oh, my
exactly.
Goodness. All right. All right.
Boy, that is one very highly specified pee test that she took there.
Tell you something. I guarantee you this excuse has been sitting in dry dock for about 2 years on the off chance that she got caught.
Yeah.
And she's been banned for 4 years, which effectively ends her career because she won't be able to compete in this year's Olympics or the 2024 Olympics. So that's that. Yeah. And I'm all for it.
Do you think they have a little notebook full of excuse, the just in case page? Just in case I get caught.
Sure, the dog drank my urine sample. My
the hay's been. I got tainted hay.
Hay, tainted burritos.
Jeez. Hey, what do you? We've talked to you about this a couple of times about the spider tack that everybody
right.
in baseball seems to be using, and now baseball's coming down hard on it as of the 21st of this month. Or boy, there's nobody going to be spared from their ire should you be caught. So I'm wondering what pitchers look like up until the 21st, if it's just going to be spin rates off the chart and you know, offensive numbers in the tank even more than they are. And then after the 21st, what might it look like?
Well, first of all, the fact that Major League Baseball is just addressing this now shows you exactly how poorly run it is. And when in 25 years nobody is watching and it has fallen behind hockey and all Irish hurling and darts in terms of people giving a damn about it, you'll know exactly why. And it's because Rob Manfred is serially unqualified to do this job. If he did not know, if Major League Baseball managers and general managers and executives in the league did not know that this was going on before this year, then they are all idiots. So I'm going to say they're not all idiots. I will say that perhaps 25% of them are idiots. That means 75% of the people knew. Nothing was done in advance of this year. So now you're saying in the middle of the season, we're going to pivot and say for the last 3-plus months of the year, we're going to tell pitchers, you've been doing stuff a certain way. Now you got to change. And this is going to lead to injury. It's going to lead to people not being able to be not just performing properly, but they may not even be able to throw the pitches that they throw normally and be able to, they're saying, oh, the spin rates, there's more people getting hit. Even more people could get hit because they won't be able to, some of them are going to be able, not going to be able to control the ball. This shows you that Major League Baseball is not being run by someone who has a plan and an idea of how to do things, but people who are reacting and generally reacting poorly. Manfred has to go if this sport is going to thrive and move forward.
Well, and you just answered, I think, my next question. That was, I don't know, I'm sure you saw the story that Rays right-hander Tyler Glasnow, he was speaking and laying into baseball, cracking down on the foreign substances after he was diagnosed with a partially torn ulnar collateral ligament and a flexor tendon strain. He said he did away with using sunscreen, the only foreign substance he said he has ever used. He said he did it two starts ago, and then he felt sore the next day due to needing to adjust his grips and saying he felt something pop. He says he switched his fastball grip and his curveball grip. He had to put the fastball grip deeper into his hand and grip it way harder instead of holding his curveball at the tip of his fingers. I had to dig it deeper into my hand, and I'm choking the bleep out of all my pitches, and he blames that for the injury. It sounds like you buy that.
No, no, no. I buy the fact that Major League Baseball is being run by a series of incompetents.
No, but you talked about injuries, that there are going to be injuries.
Right, but he was cheating.
Yeah.
Okay? He was cheating. Then he was told he had to stop cheating, and he got hurt. Now, I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't want even Ohio State players. I don't want them to get hurt. I want them to fall down and play poorly, but I don't want them to get hurt. I don't want anybody to get hurt. But here's the thing. We're not, this is the bonfire of the vanities. The pitchers are cheating. The managers and the general managers are letting it go. The people in New York on Park Avenue are morons. And the whole thing's going up in flames. So my point in all of this is, nothing good is going to come from the fact that they're doing this in June when they knew darn well. If Rob Manfred is going to stand there and say, we didn't know that this was happening, then, you know, umpires take balls that get scuffed or whatever, pick them up and touch them. They're not going to feel any of the of the tacky stuff, please. So everybody's culpable here, except, and this is the funny thing, the hitters are the only ones who are innocent in all of this.
Yeah. It's funny, Bob was saying this about the cheating in Houston. They're all complicit, all the Houston Astros.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's very strange. And then the other thing, Michael, is it seems like 3 weeks ago, at least for us anyway, and Bob and I both watch MLB Network, you weren't hearing hardly anything about this. There was this marveling over the no-hitters, but there wasn't any talk about, this cheating that was going on as far as the substances go. And now all of a sudden, in the middle of the year, they jump all over it. I mean, there's got to be some paranoia there, I guess, because of the hangover of the Houston Astros cheating scandal.
Well, not just that. People started talking about it. JT Realmuto in Philadelphia, the catcher, started bringing it up. Other players started bringing it up. Tyler Kepner of the New York Times didn't just stumble upon this because he went up to bat one day. He was told by somebody that this was the case. So the Major League Baseball had to do something about it because everybody started talking about it. So this is classic reactionary, poor management and poor leadership, not knowing what's happening. This is what I always say about college coaches. Oh, my assistants were doing all of this these recruiting violations. I didn't know anything about it. Well, it's one of two things. Either A, you're lying, or B, you're an idiot and you shouldn't be leading a multi-million-dollar athletic business like a major college basketball or football program. So it's same thing with this. The only reason Major League Baseball did anything was that everybody started hearing about it. I was at a game Sunday. Somebody caught a foul ball right behind me. I said, give me the ball. Let me feel it. I was hoping I could stick it to myself or something. Yeah. This was a clean ball. One strike, nobody hit it. Whoever was pitching wasn't using any sticky stuff.
You're going to take a picture of it stuck to the side of your neck or something.
Yeah, like the key that the woman had from the chip from the vaccine.
Remember there was the Spider-Tac commercial where there's a guy with a cinder block. The Spider-Tac glue or whatever. But
we are getting so stupid in this country that eventually what's going to happen is some foreign nation just going to walk in. They don't even need guns or anything. They're just going to walk in and take over, and everybody's going to be like, okay, we don't understand.
So Trevor Bauer is a guy who's never afraid to share his opinion, and he doesn't, he did like a 5-part tweet, so piecing it together here. But essentially, he doesn't have a problem with them implementing this. He's saying, the biggest problem is that they've knowingly swept this under the rug for 4 years. Now they implement a knee-jerk reaction to shifting public perception. Hard to hear them talk about competitive integrity when they've got no integrity to begin with. He says, to be clear, the memo is fine long-term, and it will serve to level the playing field. That's a good thing. But to implement it mid-season when for 3 months you've promised players and teams that nothing about your chosen enforcement of the rules would change this year and actively encourage players to continue playing how they have in the past, that's a lie. There's no integrity in that. And save it with all the competitive integrity BS. All you care about is bottom line of the business and public perception negatively affecting it.
I did not see that, but I would say Hosanna, hurrah, and all ye listen in, because he's completely correct. He nailed it completely down. Everyone, they didn't want to do anything. They've known about it. They were hoping no one would find it. It's just like steroids. Bud Selout sat there for years as the players injected themselves with everything they could find in a chance to get better at hitting and pitching. to either become superstars or stay in the league, and he just let it go because the money was coursing in. Meanwhile, the players who were cheating never spoke up. What I say to people like Curt Schilling and all those who were saying, oh, there was no cheating, I'll take a drug test. Yeah, you didn't take a drug test in 1995 or in 1996, and I didn't hear you calling for them. So this is baseball, and look, pro sports in general, we want to see the final product. We want to taste the tasty link, the sausage link. We don't want to see how it's made. It's all a travesty. It's all filthy. College sports, high school sports are becoming disgusting. Grassroots basketball. You go to one of those tournaments, after you leave, you have to take a shower. It's so disgusting. Now, and so everybody's emulating the pros. Don't trust anything that anybody in leadership in any of these sports says, because they'll do whatever it takes to make more money. And if that means the human sacrifice at halftime, if they could get away with it, where do we light the fire?
Did you see Pete Alonso's comments?
I did not.
About the ball. He was talking about the ball.
I try not to read anything from the Mets because I feel that I would get dumber if I did.
He came out and said it without any uncertainty. He said, this is a fact. And he said that when there was a big crop of free agent pitchers set to become free agents and they were going to clean up with all these huge deals, that Major League Baseball essentially doctored the production of the balls because they own the production company now. They produce the balls. To negatively impact pitchers, and offensive numbers went up, and this way that they wouldn't be able to, you know, stretch out for every last dollar the way they otherwise would. And now that you've got all these shortstops, Correa, Baez, Seager, all these guys coming up next year, he's saying that they've messed with the balls to impact the offense in a negative way so that these guys won't be able to clean up with the contracts and put up ridiculous numbers. What do you think of that?
I don't doubt it. As I said, I wouldn't doubt any nefarious thing that baseball has done. Remember, these were the owners who from 1965 to 1985 were completely outfoxed and outflanked by Marvin Miller and Donald Fair and the players. Okay? They're so stupid. Then they then colluded, okay, on salaries. They got caught. They're so greedy and so stupid and so shameless that nothing that you could concoct. Okay, if you said to me that the Major League Baseball owners and the administrators went to Mongolia, found a substance that oozes out of yaks when they are in heat, and they could apply it to the balls and the bats at a certain time to make one work or the other not work, etc., I would believe it. I would believe anything that these greed heads did. So when Alonso says it, sure. They do doctor the baseball. Sports Illustrated had a big article about it this year, talking about trying to find, I think it was Sports Illustrated or somebody had it, trying to find out what's going on with the baseballs that are, all you know, for a while they're jumping out of the ballparks. Now they can't get hit out of the ballparks. It's crazy, and it's all guaranteed to impact at that bottom line, and what's going to happen is short-run gains, long-run conflagration.
All right, well, let's go to football. Here's three names that I think most people probably wouldn't identify. Nick Sirianni, Jonathan Gannon, and Shane Steichen. That's the head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator for your Philadelphia Eagles. You knew that.
We are so excited here. It's unbelievable. I'm telling you, this is a fact. During the month of April, 100 new babies were named Sirianni. First names. The people are so excited
him
that they're naming their kids after.
That is joking. That is false. I was going to say. Yeah.
That is false. Fake news. Yes, fake news. I'm sorry. I just tuned in the QAnon chain on 12 Chan or whatever it is. So, but my point is, nobody knows these guys.
Mm.
Nobody knows what they're going to do. This team is, I previewed it for Athlon's Pro Football Magazine, and as I'm writing about it, I'm like, okay, they got a couple good guys, and if the offensive line's healthy, they might be good, and if this happens, there's so many ifs. And the biggest if is, if the quarterback who completed 50% of his passes last year now completes 65% of his passes, oh, by the way, his second half percentage was even lower, then they'll be okay.
Yeah.
This has 4-12 written all over it.
You know, the good part about what you have out there, and I think you worked with him before, but Mike Quick, who is the sort of, you know, he's the color analyst on the radio. Didn't you guys work on a project together, you and Mike Quick?
No, I never worked with him. Yeah. I did work with Brian Dawkins, and my book with him is coming out in September. Blessed by the Best by Brian Dawkins with Michael Bradley.
Oh, wow. Nice. Local news post. There we go. We will plug away on that.
Oh, we're going to plug the hell out of that.
Yeah.
There's going to be one thing on a Tuesday where for 20 minutes I'm going to actually just say the name of the book over and over, and you guys won't have to do anything.
Beautiful. People will buy it just so you'll stop.
But Mike Quick,
exactly.
Mike Quick was a good player, and you come across him.
Oh, he's a hell of a player.
Yeah. Good dude. Good guy. But, yeah, I'm not so sure about the Eagles.
The year he was drafted, Perry Tuttle of Clemson was thought to be the big prize, and he had a good career. I think Buffalo took him. But Quick came out of North Carolina State, not nearly as heralded, and he had a tremendous career.
Yeah.
Hey, I sent you a story on Twitter to get your response to it. You didn't respond, man. I thought we were cool.
I didn't see it. What was it?
It was the story about Bo Schembechler and him ignoring it. It was Joe Paterno all over again on some level here. I'm like, no way. And for those that don't know, two former Michigan football players said they believe they could have been spared from sexual assaults if their coach at the time, Bo Schembechler, had addressed the complaints about their former team doctor, Robert Anderson, made by Schembechler's son. So what do you make of this whole thing? How is this going down with Michigan alum?
Well, this is how it goes. Remember this. The institution is always what people are looking to protect. The victims are always shunted aside, just as they were at Michigan State, just as they were at Ohio State, just as they were at Penn State, and just as they were at Michigan. Michael Rosenberg of SportsIllustrated.com wrote a piece on a column, and he went to Michigan. He wrote for the Detroit Free Press, and he wrote a book about Bo and Woody, and he knows Michigan football intimately, and he said that keeping this doctor on allowed Schembechler to have some sway over him so that when he needed players to play who may have been dinged up or maybe shouldn't have played, the doctor would clear them. That was what he put forth,
wow.
And I have no reason to doubt Rosenberg. So this guy was known by, you know, the players. This is two. There are other players that will come out. Schembechler absolutely knew about it. It's the Michael Bradley corollary. You either know about it and you cover it up, or you don't know about it and you're an idiot. And I don't think Schembechler was an idiot. The man was the control freak's control freak, and I don't think there was a single thing that went on in that program that he didn't know about. So he knew what the players were doing. He knew where they were going. He knew where they were. I'll put it to you this way. When I was a senior at Michigan and Herschel Walker went to the USFL and left Georgia a year early, Schembechler came out and said that Herschel Walker owed the University of Georgia. I wrote a column in the Michigan Daily saying Herschel Walker owed Georgia nothing. The next day, I get a call from my friend who's a student trainer at Michigan saying, they're not too happy with you down here at the football office. So this guy's even reading the student newspaper to find out what's going on. He absolutely knew. It's horrible. The victims, and you know, some guys probably went in there and said, okay, I got to go in and deal with this quack again who's going to do stuff that he shouldn't be doing. But other guys were hurt by it. Other people were impacted by it. Other people were damaged by it. And no one should have had to go through that. So, you know, this is an awful thing. And unlike some of the Penn State Paterno truthers who say, oh, there's no way Joe Pa knew anything. He was just a blithering old man. I can tell you that if I went to my 93-year-old mother who died last July and said to her 2 months before she died, hey, listen, I saw a man in a shower with a 10-year-old, and he was soaping him up, my mother would have been disgusted. Paterno was about 71 when Mike McQuarrie went to him to tell him about Jerry Sandusky. So unlike the Paterno truthers, I'm saying I think Schembechler knew it was disgraceful and his name should be taken off the football building.
Mm. Just an ugly, shameful story. Hey, what's the perception of Joel Embiid out there after he goes 0-for-12 in the second half? And I know he's dealing with a bit of an injury, but we know that the Philadelphia fans often spare no expense in torturing their local athletes there.
Embiid is a real curious case because he's bulletproof.
Really? I mean, even in Philadelphia?
Yeah, he really is. He really is. He's bulletproof because he's... Sixers fans were brainwashed when Sam Hinkie was the general manager talking about the process.
Yeah, trust
the
process.
Embiid is exhibit A of the process. So And look, he is astoundingly talented. When Jokic won the MVP, everybody was, you know, the moral outrage bubbled to the surface here. The columnist had to write that this was a travesty, otherwise the pitchfork and torches would have shown up at the newspaper offices. But the fans love him. And if he shoots 0 for 12, it's not his fault. It's his knee. It's locusts. It's a communist plot. It's anything but him. So he's fine.
It's locusts. That's a rare thing to be bulletproof in Philadelphia.
We've had our share. Chase Utley was bulletproof.
Okay.
When Aaron Rowan, who played center field for the Phillies for a couple of years, ran face first into the fence to make a catch and was like, you know, his face was destroyed for a couple months. He could have walked into any bar or restaurant in Philadelphia and gotten a free meal or drink very easily. So there are a few who are Bernie Parent, okay? He Bobby Clark, bulletproof. So Embiid right now doesn't have to worry about this. The guy that everybody is after is Ben Simmons because he can't hit free throws. He won't learn how to shoot. And now with Embiid questionable for Game 5, and I'm sure he's going to try to do everything he can to play, now you're going to have to rely on Simmons, who doesn't like to score points and is not somebody who steps into the limelight. And if they lose Game 5 or lose this series, Simmons, they're going to demand Simmons be traded. The fans will be saying, get rid of him. We don't want him.
Well, it's not good to have a guy on your team that doesn't like to score points.
Yeah,
that's a bad trade for a shooter.
Okay? Yeah, that's strange, right?
This isn't Ben Wallace who's out there rebounding.
There are guys who can't score points.
Right.
I mean, during the course of the NBA, there have been a million of them. But a guy who doesn't want to, it's a different story.
He is El Hombre, Michael Bradley. You can follow him on Twitter, @DailyHombre. @DailyHombre is where you can find him on Twitter. Interact at your own risk. And you can hear him here every Tuesday at 5 o'clock. Michael, great stuff. We'll do it again next week.
So long, suckers.
Like that. I don't care if it's locusts. It's
locusts. Good reference there.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right. Our thanks to Michael Bradley again every Tuesday at 5 o'clock here with Wyman and Bob. We touched on it with him in a very big way. Major League Baseball is beginning its crackdown on pitchers, but what kind of impact will it make? Talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
I'm getting a kick out of Trevor Bauer on Twitter. I was just showing Dave a video of him. He just goes at Major League Baseball. He tags them in his tweets. He rips on them, saying they've got no integrity. And then he just posted a video of him with a ball. He grips the ball in his hand. He's in the dugout. And he goes, you tell me, is this legal or illegal? So he's gripping the ball. And he opens his hand flat. And the ball's sticking to the palm of his hand.
I like the expression on his face, too. He's pretty funny. I mean, I know that he rubs people the wrong way. He doesn't seem to care. And he also doesn't seem to understand that he rubs people the wrong way. But, I mean, where was he on the whole thing? I mean, is he using it, too? Is he benefiting from it?
I think he supposedly was using it. And his problem, as I said in his tweets, and it's like a five-part tweet, but he's basically saying, hey, this is good. You outlaw it, it'll be an even playing field. He doesn't like the timing of it. That he's feeling like Major League Baseball buckled to the pressure of the public opinion and, hey, this is outrageous. Look at this stuff and look at what it's doing to spin rates and offense is terrible around the league. And, you know, so he feels like they just sort of caved into that. And so they've come up with this mandate starting June 21st that umpires and officials out there are going to be expected to be hammering down on that, looking for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the one thing players don't understand is, you know, they said, oh, they're cowing to the pressure.
Yeah.
That's called money. I mean, it's business, you know. And so the things that you do on the field, you know, whether it's on the sidelines or whatever, that affects ratings. And then that affects money. And, you know, some of these guys that, you know, they want to make comments or whatever. I mean, I feel like you're going to, at some point, the ratings are going to have to be attached to their contracts.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you're killing ratings with the things that you're doing, and this is the case. And I think Major League Baseball got out on top of it, ahead of it, I should say, in I think, because of the whole thing that went on with Houston and the cheating. I mean, that was the one thing. Now, I'd say the degree of, as far as where this rates, if knowing what pitch is going to come is a 10, I'd say this is, you know, maybe a 5. I mean, there's still guys making contact and everything. Knowing where a pitch is coming.
Yeah, knowing
what
which pitch yeah.
is way more. But I still think, well, and we're seeing the results. I mean, over the last, 3 years, it's been more strikeouts than hits in mm-hmm. Major League Baseball. And that's what people want. People want to see the ball flying out of the park. So it's just very strange to me, though. And then the other thing is just how are they – I mean, you see that the umpire's throwing the ball out there every time.
Yeah, they're getting a clean ball, throwing it to the pitcher who's then doing what he does to it.
I guess I got to start paying more attention to that. I don't really – like. Have you been like watching every pitcher and going, when's he doing it? Where's he touching?
I think since this has started bubbling, I've tried to, you know. But you could talk yourself into anything. I mean, most pitchers are touching, they're licking their fingers, they're wiping it on the brim of their cap, they're readjusting the cap, and I'm sitting there going, okay, maybe it's on the back of his cap. Maybe it's underneath the back of his cap. Maybe you put it on the back of his hair so you don't really see it looks like sweat. Yeah. You know what I mean? You could talk yourself into anything. Or, oh, he keeps adjusting his sleeve. It's on the inside of his sleeve. Or he's doing this. Or he's, you know, you're just looking for anywhere he makes contact other than his mitt in the ball. And maybe it's in between the fingers of the mitt on one of the, I mean, who knows where they're hiding it. I was telling you, I heard somebody on MLB Network talking about scouting reports that are out there on pitchers telling everybody exactly what pitcher A is doing. And pitcher B goes to his belt buckle. Pitcher A goes to the side of his leg or readjusts his jersey in the back. Or they've got these scouting reports on which guys are doing it and how they're doing it. So I don't know. And Bauer is, like I said, he's tagging Major League Baseball in his tweets. And he goes at it, he says, while we're at it, Major League Baseball, please tell us how umpires who have never been trained to know what a, quote, sticky substance is or isn't are supposed to automatically enforce that uniformly. What is the standard for what is sticky and what's not? Might want to clarify that, you know, for the competitive integrity of the game. It would be really unfair to have one crew think sticky is one thing and another crew to think it's another thing. Rules are supposed to be uniformly enforced, almost like you should have used an offseason to define that. So he's just laying into them. His issue doesn't seem to be that they are going to enforce it, just that they're choosing to do it now in the middle of the season. So I'm more curious as to what it's going to look like after the 21st. Are we going to see ridiculous spin rates and pitchers just lighting up other teams up until the 21st? And then we're just going to see a massive drop-off after the 21st? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Anybody on the Mariners using it? I have to assume somebody did.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Like, who would be the person?
Maybe Graveman, because he throws as hard as he does. And you know, people talked about the uptick in his velocity. And, man, he's unhittable now. And, you know, you don't suspect somebody like Marco, who looks to be throwing exactly as he did. He certainly is not having a great season. So if he's cheating, it's not working.
He's not doing it well.
No, he's been very inconsistent outside of injuries. So if you cheat and you're not good, that's really painful.
So, I mean, you saw Graveman go down actually to AAA and throw a couple, and he gave up a run down there, which he had not given up a run here.
Yeah.
I wonder if, you know, some of these guys see it coming and they're starting to ramp up to, okay, let's get back to not, you know, throwing with nothing. It seems like it would be with, you know, how clear television is now and how there's so many cameras at the ballpark. And, you know, what do they have? I remember we were talking about this a couple of years ago, that there's like, you know, four or five broadcast cameras, but there's like the MLB has like 15 or something there. So, you know, and then the same thing out at Seahawk practice, you know, they have a feed that goes back to, you know, the NFL network or the offices there. So, yeah, I mean, they can definitely watch every last little move and figure out. And I wonder if you'll see somebody, you know, a pitcher do something, whether he's touching his hat or whatever, and the umpire going out and stopping him and inspecting his hat. I mean, how far is it going to go?
I would think if anything, they'll look at the ball. I mean, I don't, you know, if they feel like something untoward is happening, he could tap the, I don't know how they're going to do it, but that's how I could see them do it. Hey, before, give me that. Let me see that before the catcher throws it back. Let me take a look at it. You know, I don't even know how that stuff works. Is it on the ball the whole time, or do you kind of have to keep reapplying it after every pitch? I don't know how much they're using. Is it designed to where it, by the time it goes, you know, 60 feet, 6 inches, it evaporates? I don't know. I don't know how the Weird. How the stuff works. It's just it's pretty interesting how big it has become so quickly, to the point that they've now got a mandate in place for the 21st. And I'm even more interested to see what does pitching and offense look like after the 21st? Is it going to be obvious? Is DeGrom going to be throwing 96, 97 now instead of 101? Is he going to get hit? He's going to give up runs and all of a sudden, I don't know, hitters are getting plunked left and right, but they're coming up with hits all of a sudden. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. It'll tell you how widespread it was, certainly, if they're able to enforce it correctly. That's the other part. How are they going to enforce it?
Yeah.
How diligent are they going to be?
Where do you get spider tack from, by the way? I don't know if you've looked it up, but there's, you know, it's like a little jar almost, and it's got a black lid that looks like you screw.
Probably
screw
Amazon.
Open.
Don't you get everything off Amazon? Mm,
probably.
Isn't
maybe
everything available.
Maybe
there?
You can get them to Amazon.com. There you go. But also, you know, you could probably go to like Home Depot or something like that. I could use some of this around the house.
Is it equivalent to Gorilla Glue?
That's tough.
The ball would probably never leave your hand.
I know. I was going to say, you see a batter, you know, hit the ball and it just sticks to the bat.
All right. Coming up, when does a contract extension happen for Jamal Adams? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
A lot of people weighing in on the text line, Dave, on the spider tech.
Well, and we were having an interesting conversation here during the break. Is like, you know, somebody, what did the guy say? It's like tape. So it doesn't come off on your finger.
360 says it's for the fingers, not the ball. Not noticeable amount of transfer to the ball. Tape is sticky but doesn't transfer adhesive to surface. Okay, I get what you're saying there, and that's not always true, by the way. I've had tape on things and lifted it up, and there's a sticky spot there on whatever I had it on. But this is something that's more liquefied. It's not a solid piece of something. It's more liquefied. And if it's, you know, we were talking about if you put Gorilla Glue on the end of your fingers and touch it on a surface, you're going to see residue on the surface. So,
yeah.
So how this sticks to the ball without leaving any residue whatsoever,
right,
is impressive if that's what it's doing. I don't know. I've never touched the stuff. I don't know what it does.
Yeah, and I didn't really see, other than Amazon, where you can actually get it. I don't know if it was something that, you know, maybe it's some regional thing that's used. You know, there's lots of these little stuff. But, I mean, if it can transfer to your finger, why does it not transfer to the ball? That part doesn't make sense because, you know, you're talking about the tape part of it. You know, there's a sticky side, and like you said, sometimes it comes off. I just think it would be very interesting to get out with, you know, maybe an ex-pitcher or somebody that, you know, could show you. Ryan Roland Smith, I keep thinking about him because he was saying how he would score the ball, like meaning he would kind of scratch a little
with
bit
with his nail
to try to rough up the surface a little bit so that he could get better grip on the ball and at the release point. And
he also said he tried using substances. Remember, he says, yeah, it made it worse. I couldn't do it. He couldn't manipulate a ball with, you know, whether it was pine tar or whatever he was trying to use. It made it worse for him.
Well, I feel sorry for Ty France and Mark Canna because
I'm not Canna. No,
not Canna. Okay, never mind. Because maybe the hit by pitch totals will start to go up because they're going to have to adjust to the new control or whatever. I don't know, and we'll see. Wouldn't it be that'd be freaky? I don't anticipate this happening, but if all of a sudden just the hitters just exploded. And offense.
It'll be interesting. 21st is the deadline, so I think we'll see one thing up until then, and then after that.
Why not now?
I guess they're giving everybody a heads up, like, hey, you better adjust your grips now, and whatever you need to do to become effective after the 21st, you better work on it until then.
Okay, so you're giving them 6 days to not cheat.
Yeah, we're going to tell you to stop breaking the rules we know you're breaking right now, but we're going to enforce them as of the 21st. How they enforce them or how diligent they are will dictate, I think, what we see in the way of offense and all that. So,
well, I'll tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be using it right up to the point to, you know, get some good contract numbers.
Well, unless you felt like, hey, I am really relying on this stuff, I better figure out how to remain effective without it.
Yeah.
So maybe you're working with other things. Maybe you come up with a new substance. I mean, there's always something new. There's a new avenue. So it's going to be interesting to watch. And I've got one more question here. Maybe this is a dumb question, but 425 says you can get it on Amazon. It's meant to be used for lifting Atlas stones and things like that. What is an Atlas stone? Is that a joke that just went over my head, or what is that? Lefko, Atlas stone, anything?
I don't know what it is. I'm just looking it up right now.
Maybe it was supposed to be funny, and I don't get it. It appears none of us get it.
Strongman competitions?
Yeah.
Oh, is Matt that
Nelson,
what that is?
With the assist back here. Strongman competition, Rock.
Wait, hold on a minute. Matt Nelson knew something about a sporting event.
He's raising his arms
hallelujah.
In triumph.
That's a score.
I had never heard that. Atlas stones. Okay.
Maybe he watches those strongman competitions.
Yeah. And no, now people are texting in Atlas stones, strongman. They're the big weights, the lifting competitions. Okay. All right. Now, moving on. Let's get into Jamal Adams, because he is not at minicamp, but it's an excused absence. He's apparently got some family things going on he needs to address. And even if that weren't the case, I wasn't expecting him to be there participating. I would have been really surprised if that were the case. I was hoping he would be there physically, like players we've seen in contract situations before. We're getting it worked out. Until we do, I'm here showing my leadership, my dedication to the team. I want to learn the new, you know, terminology, whatever it is new. I want to be there with a new player, but I'm not going to run through the drill. I'm not doing that stuff. I can respect that. That's what I was hoping for.
Do you, because he's injured? Because he's coming off his surgeries?
Yeah, but I also understand that he doesn't want to risk injury while he's waiting to get – he's still on his rookie deal. This is my chance to clean up. I'm not going to run out here and rupture an Achilles and then I don't have my contract in place.
Right.
So I can respect that, especially in football, because we've seen how, you know, this isn't a guaranteed situation for these guys, and they you know, get only one opportunity to sign a contract like this. So I understand him not wanting – him being risk averse.
Yeah.
I get that.
I think this is probably like the most sensitive time of his life. You know, I mean, this is going to be, you know,
and walking around in bubble wrap.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what, he's going to be 26, we decided. Yeah. So, and maybe he gets one more deal, but I'm thinking 3-4 year deal. This is the prime time. This is when you get paid. Now, he was the, what, sixth pick of the draft. So he got a lot, you know, more. He was still on the rookie deal, but he got a good amount of money. But this is the big payoff right here. So this is his chance, like, to really, as far as this point in his career, is when he's going to make the most hay. So hopefully he'll be healthy and ready to go. But yeah, I don't anticipate it being ugly, but I do think it might be a difficult one. I heard Jake earlier saying that, you know, he thinks it's going to be the most difficult one in Seahawk history, or recent history. I think I'm paraphrasing, but I don't know. I think those two with Russell Wilson were probably pretty tough. You know, I mean,
yeah,
Mark Rogers, it wasn't like he was going to just lay down for anything that was going on. I'm sure that was, you know, we heard a lot of things that came out of that, and, you know, during the negotiations, and, you know, there was a deadline thrown down, and I don't know, it was more crucial, it felt like to me. But this one's different, and I think the reason why is we don't really know Jamal Adams that well. And then he did force his way out of New York, and he does have a lot of leverage, given that the Seahawks gave up 2 first-round draft choices to get
him. Yeah, his agent knows that better than anybody.
I'll bet you he uses that, Bob.
I would guess that would be a smart play. I would want my agent to use that if I were him, yep. And I think they will use it. And we'll see. At this point, I'm not worried about it. I'd love it to get done because it is that thing hanging there. Mm-hmm. But is it looking negative? Is this a bad thing? I'm not looking at it that way right now. Not at all. Now, if it drags on and gets contentious in the press, then we'll have a different conversation. And meanwhile, that does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, Mike Blowers, John Clayton, Jordan Brooks, and Michael Bradley, all joined us on the show. If you missed any of it, head to the podcast page, 710sports.com. Click that podcast tab, scroll down to our picture, and click on that, and it'll be right there waiting for you each and every day. Mariner pregame coming your way next. We're back tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.